For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Look over here at verse 4. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now, I understand in the context, we're talking about people in the church, we're talking about so-called Christianity, we're talking about people in the world, but I want to guarantee you one thing, this is applicable for the Islamic faith. Let me ask you a question. Why does a Palestinian young man, 19 years of age, take 2 pounds of bombs and strap them around his belly and walk into a crowded shopping center and ignite himself and blow himself into eternity and kill as many as he possibly can? Why does he do that? It's not because he's a lover of God. He's got a promise, 70 virgins for eternity. And all the sensual desires that I have will be met. Lovers of themselves, their own bodies, more than lovers of God. I think Paul was talking about this day. All of this is not going to be 100% applicable. I think it, to some extent, is. Covetous, verse 2, covetous. What have they desired? They've desired control of the world. Their ultimate goal, the Islamic faith, ultimate goal. I read it the other day. Vladimir Putin, what did he say? They have a desire to set up a religious, political kingdom in this world, all under Allah. They're coveting all of the world. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, in the face of God. If it's demonic, it has to be blasphemous, because it's anti-God. Boasters, have you listened to much of what Yasser Arafat has to say? Or Saddam Hussein? They are so boastful and proud, I don't see how they walk through a door. Their head's about 90 feet wide. How do they get into these doors? I mean, when I met with Yasser Arafat down in Jericho in the palace, he had this immaculate palace set up down in Jericho. The people starving to death, and he spends all this money to put a palace up in Jericho just so he can come down there about once every 2 years. And here's King Hussein. Now, King Hussein was an Islamic leader. He was of the Islamic faith, but he was, I'm telling you, he was so close to Christ. He was almost like a Christ. When one of his soldiers killed 8 Israeli schoolgirls, King Hussein asked for permission to come to Israel. He came into Israel. Netanyahu was the prime minister then. He said, Mr. Netanyahu, may I come into Israel? I want to meet with the families. Here's the king, the longest reigning king in the history of the world at that time while he was alive. And he literally went into the families of every one of those people. He got on his knees and he begged forgiveness from those mothers and fathers of those little girls that his man had killed. And he told them, I gave an order to my military leaders, if that ever happened again, there's no trial. You kill him on the spot. Just kill him. And then he said, here's the monies. I know this is not going to help. And he gave out of his own wealth to this man. I mean, King Hussein, unbelievable man. I could tell you more stories about him. He's an Islamic person, but he was an unbelievable man. I don't know for sure. I'm not even, don't you dare quote me as saying that he was a secret believer, but boy, he certainly seemed to act like one. His brother, who he displaced and put his son in the place of as the crown prince, in fact, King Hussein got out of his deathbed at Mayo Clinic to go back to Jordan to replace his brother, who had been the crown prince for 42 years. He replaced his brother. His brother wrote the greatest definition of the gospel in a book on religion in Jordan that I have ever read. Tommy Phillips couldn't have written a better definition of the gospel than his brother wrote. And so I don't know, but I only tell you that to say this. Here's King Hussein, this unbelievable leader in the Arabic world, in the world as far as I'm concerned, and here's Yasser Arafat. And you could just see arrogance spewing out of his every pore in his body. Proud, boastful. Saddam Hussein? I mean, is this Paul talking about The leaders in the Islamic world today, let's go ahead, I'm chasing some rabbits here. Disobedient to parents. Now, what does that mean? Well, you know what I think that's speaking of? It's certainly speaking of rebellion, isn't it? And though it is not referring, and I can't say, well, Saddam Hussein is disobedient to parents, or Yasser Arafat, or some of these Islamic leaders, Osama bin Laden, but I can say they have rebelled against God, haven't they? Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Is that applicable? You better believe it's applicable. Look at here. Without natural affection. Let me ask you a question. Don't answer it. How many of you mothers out there would say to your son, I want you to go strap on a bomb and blow yourself into eternity for the cause? None of them. And that's how these, you know what they do on Palestinian television in Israel? They do dramatizations of young boys, one in particular, who died, and they dramatize his life calling back from eternity in the seventh heaven, saying, it is great here, and I encourage all of you young children to come be with me. And they dramatize that. And from early on, I don't know who I was talking with, from early on, they take these little children and they start propagandizing them. They start manipulating their brains. They start programming them to be. There are hundreds and hundreds of young men ready to be suicide bombers. In unnatural affection. A parent who would say this. And think about the men and their relationship to women. There's the story told that it used to be that always an Arab Muslim husband would walk in front of his, well, he had a multiplicity of wives, he could have at least four, would walk in front of them. That has changed now. I'm not sure what is going on, but now the women walk in front of the men. I think it's because they have put so many landmines over in Israel that... Humor with a real truth hidden in it. What about truce breakers? Look at chapter 3, verse 3. Truce breakers? Do you know what Muhammad did? He set the pace. Yasser Arafat believes that he has a right to break any truce. It was September the 13th, 1993, when Yasser Arafat stepped out of the White House, walked onto the White House lawn. At his right was President Bill Clinton, and on the right of President Clinton was Yitzhak Rabin. They signed the peace agreement, and then Yasser Arafat got on an airplane, left the White House, flew into the Arab world, and he made different statements that had been made at the White House in his acceptance of this peace treaty between Israel and the Palestinians. He spoke, and the Arabic translation that you heard at that time was perverted. We have copies of the true Arabic translation, and he said this is only in line with what Allah did, who set a peace agreement and then in just a matter of months negated that peace agreement and killed off those who had signed a peace agreement with, so he can be put in position. Do you understand what the Palestinian covenant is? I'm showing you this is how they have become truce breakers. The Palestinian covenant has 37 clauses in it. And they all call for the destruction of the state of Israel, for the removal of Jews out of the Middle East and into at least the Mediterranean, but someplace out of the Middle East. Yasser Arafat went to the White House, the personality who most visited the White House during the 8 years of President Bill Clinton was Yasser Arafat. And on one of those trips, he stood up with Bill Clinton, and they both said that Yasser Arafat had taken all of the clauses out of the Palestinian covenant that dealt with the destruction of the Jewish state of Israel. That is a lie from the pit of hell. They have not been removed. The Palestinian covenant is still in play. They were never removed, number one. But number two, they have now implemented all of their curriculum to say the exact same thing. Number three, they have children's camps. like Word of Life has the children. They have children's camps to teach the children how to sing the songs of hatred about the Jewish people and how to use a weapon and how to throw stones. All of truce breakers. Look at here. False accusers. One of the reasons that Judy and I have lived 11 years in Israel is to be journalists for the purpose of telling the truth. You see, every journalist has an agenda. And I have an agenda. That's to tell the truth. And we've endeavored to do that. Fierce. That word fierce probably could be translated savage. Savage. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors. Heady. Reckless. High-minded. Drunk. Probably better. And maybe Chuck's going to have to check me out on these things afterwards. High-minded, drunk with power and pride. What did it say that Jerusalem would be a cup of trembling? What's that mean, a cup of trembling? Second verse of 12th chapter of Zechariah. It means... It's apocalyptic literature, and it means when the cup, I believe, has the juice of the vine, according to the book of Proverbs, and the juice starts to move, it's intoxicating. And what does that mean? Then don't touch it. The priests and the kings of Israel are not allowed to touch intoxicating drink. Don't touch it. But then the application is in Zechariah 12:2, Jerusalem should become a cup of trembling. It'll be intoxicating, that gold dome building. It was put up in 691 A.D. It's been there for 1,311 years. You know how long the first temple was there? 400 years. The second temple there? 600 years. That's a total of 1,000 years. 1,000 years, the first and second temple combined stood on the Temple Mount at the most sacred piece of real estate in all of creation for the Jewish people. And that gold-domed building, an Islamic commemorative building, has been standing there 311 years longer than the first and second temple. They have become intoxicated with power. Yasser Arafat, when Bill Clinton wanted to go up there, made the statement. He went livid when Mayor Ehud Olmert said, I'll take you up there. He put guards at all the seven gates on the Temple Mount. He said, nobody comes up here unless I let them, and you kill them with those Kalashnikov rifles if they come up here. I don't care who it is. This little backwatered terrorist. Forgetting what you think about him, shut down the most powerful man in the most powerful state in the world. High-minded, intoxicated, drunk with pride and with power, having, look at here, verse 5.